Sorry, I'm shooting the shit while you're gone and not looking at the screen.
Oh, no worries.
Oh, there it is. Both wearing red hats today. I was going to do that.
Got to represent the South or something. I don't know. I don't know what we're doing here.
I've been doing yellow, and I don't know. I just switch colors because I sell them all, and I am a capitalist. That's why I'm also wearing the Natural Capitalist t-shirt today.
I'll show hell yeah, dude.
There you go.
You are a naturalist capitalist. Mr. Reed,
right? Your lover, you survived a car accident together?
I was actually in the car behind him when he almost lost his leg. It was insane.
You were behind him? What?
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm normally at.
Yeah, pants on or off. Okay. That's good.
A little bit of both, if you know what I mean.
That was wild. You're like, we shouldn't be alive right now. I'm like, well, that's a hell of a way to start a video.
I know, dude. It was serious, though. And he was still like kind of in a state of shock. I don't think he understood how serious it was. Like, he got 270 in the air in his truck, and like, had he not had a seatbelt on, I think his door, which was caved in,
a truck. I guess he wasn't hauling anything.
No, he was in a little Toyota.
Oh, that kind of truck, not his. Yeah. Okay, still, Toyota survived.
Not that's that it. One.
Not that, that one, but well, enough, that enough that he lived. So.
Oh right, right, yeah, no, it kept him alive.
270 in the air. That's impressive. That's how many points is that on GTA? What the hell happened? He get hit by a tractor trailer or something, or like Meghan McCain was in the seat. How did
that? I think it was an Escalade or an Excursion. It was a big ass SUV, but it just hit him like perfect. I mean, it wasn't like fully in the air. It was like his front left like, tire pinned right. down, and then he just went like, woo.
He ballerina'd in that sucker.
Yeah, basically. Pirouette.
That's what that's called. You would know. Yeah. Spinning around.
I'm a cultured pirouette. Homosexual.
That's right. Well, you know, it's one of them Yankee words.
Just don't tell my girlfriend.
Yeah, girlfriend. Well, yeah, she's combing her mustache. you dropped the bomb on ESGs on the, I think it was Four Horsemen or Liberty Lockdown. I was on a show with something with you, and you were talking about it. And I know you've been digging into this for about a year or so. It's finally getting some real news. Tucker Carlson talked about it yesterday, this environmental social governance. I've been explaining it on Telegram, but I'll let you do it. Explain to people what an ESG is and why so many people are taking this short shit investments.
Well, ESG is environmental, social, and governance. Environmental being fairly obvious. It's about helping the environment. I mean, I'm going to frame it how they frame it. Then we'll talk about
right, really what is. They claim. Exactly.
Yes. So E is environmental. So that's trying to reduce pollution, things like that. S is social, which really represents social justice. So it's about how woke your business is, you know, how you're treating sexual assault cases, things like that. Do you fire people? Do you have an equity advisor? Yeah, that too. Right. How strong is your HR department? Blah, blah, blah. And then G is governance. And that is normally like
how to really waste money.
Well, it's really hiring quotas. Like they want to know, they want to make sure that your board is, you know, equitable, diverse. So that's
make sure nothing works. Yeah, yeah. So I was going to guess either make sure nothing works or how to waste money, because that's what governance is. But right. Yeah.
Well, so, in fairness, all three of the letters actually stand for total waste and non-innovation. Right. So, but it was started in 2004. Really, it started in 2004 under the United Nations, the UN. Kofi Annan was the Secretary General of the UN at the time. And he sends out this letter to the 50 biggest businesses on the planet. And he says, hey, I'd like to implement. He doesn't call it ESG at the time. They come up with that terminology shortly thereafter with some.
It was like, you know, green.
Yeah, it was, I forget, like Green Initiative or something like that.
Echo or something like that.
Yeah. So he sends out this letter, and what do you know? The biggest money managers on earth, Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank and JP Morgan, they all respond in the affirmative. That sounds great. Yeah, of course. We want to, you know, sacrifice profits and shift from shareholder value to stakeholder value, which if you're not paying attention, it sounds like the same thing, but it's tremendously different.
Oh, no, that's very different. Like, oh, did you say subsidies? What? Oh.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's really, you nailed it already. That's exactly why they signed on, is like, well, if the United Nations is going to be on board, they know that almost every government, you know, any first world government that's involved with the UN is going to be on board. So they heard it right away. They're like, oh, gravy train, back the truck up. And that's what it was. And it really didn't take, you know, it didn't catch fire until after the 08-09 collapse. I think the real estate collapse in particular in America, which created.
I'm glad you used that phrase, gravy train, because that is Lincoln and the railroads. That's what that is. Lincoln subsidized the railroads. From? They got all these investments in the railroads because, hey, the government's paying for it, right?
No shit.
And that is the real gravy train. It's the trains. Because that the steel foundries and all these industries that relate to railroads also benefit from this. I've talked about this before in my first book, Welcome to the USSA. The chapter on environment there talks about how farm subsidies are indirect subsidies for big pharma, because 75% of antibiotics in the U.S. go to animals on ranches, not people. Yep. And why do they even need those antibiotics? Because the horrible conditions in factory farms make it necessary to have the antibiotics. But it's you have to have so many per animal, per acre, whatever, to get the largest amount of subsidies. So it causes these conditions that otherwise wouldn't exist, which causes a demand for the antibiotics and the steroids and the pesticides and all these chemical things that go to Dow and Searle and so on that are dependent. Now, they're not subsidized, but they are subsidized through the farm subsidy because you can't they don't have good PR. Nobody cares about Dow, right? But farmers, everyone loves farmers, right? And these giant agribusiness, they just like the ethanol cult, the reason why they landed on that is because you can't touch corn. And the reason is, you look at a map of the United States, the bulk of the senators, everyone gets two, right? Well, they're all out Midwest, and they're all tied to farm and ranch subsidies. And the corn syrups and everything, because it's subsidized, and corn's going to become ethanol. We're going to use that, you know, to replace gasoline, whatever, even though it takes more energy than what you get out of it, because it doesn't matter if it works or not. It just matters, like, this is a giant voting block and we want to keep these subsidies because it is a gravy train, just like Lincoln's railroad. So, but it's way worse than that now, because now it's international and it's about climate change or any other. And I ain't saying the earth isn't getting warmer, but it is not going to disappear in 12 years. They're not melting the ice caps, all this stuff. You know, why would anybody buy coastal property if that was the case?
why would the politicians that are espousing this most vocally be the ones that are buying the big mansions on the
ocean? Also, if the ice melted, the water level would lower, not raise, because it's a crystal and it takes up more space than liquid water does. But anyway, they're not, it's not happening. They'll do stuff. Well, what about Al Gore? He took a picture of Kilimanjaro in the summer and one in the winter and go, look at all the snow that's missing.
it's so infuriating. Man.
CGI of Day After Tomorrow is the opening credits of Inconvenient Truth.
He
put truth in the title and did nothing but lie to people. And again, every time you lie and exaggerate something, like a certain historical event, you're discrediting it and you don't need to. There's evidence. You don't have to add all this weird stuff to it and scaremongering, Chicken Little, whatever. But the reason they're really doing that is to push the public into accepting the austerity that they're going to have when you turn off nuclear power plants, get rid of drilling rights, close down pipelines, especially the Germans right now, and blame it on Ukraine, whatever. This was all happening before that war. So was the inflation. So were the shortages. Partly because of the spending on COVID, but the rest of it's been ESGs. And ESG has always been able to blame some other thing. But clearly, this is what it is. Why is gas so high? Because you got rid of drilling. You got rid of pipelines. You overregulated the industries that already did exist. And you subsidized green tech. And then, Clint, like, explain to people like what a BlackRock or Vanguard is, because people think they just own everything. Like, they're the middleman for Apple, Google, and so on.
That's a terrible misconception, because they have so many trillions under management. A lot of people think, like, oh, Larry Fink actually has $10 trillion. Like, no, Larry Fink has our pension. He has our pension funds. He has our 401ks, our IRAs, whatever vehicle we're investing in, the ETFs for BlackRock. So ETF just being an exchange traded fund, it can have a litany of different stock holdings in it, none of which does Larry Fink actually own, except for, you know, he probably owns some shares of BlackRock.
He gets paid to be the middleman. I mean, he gets paid.
Yeah. They get 15 basis points on every dollar that they manage, which is just like 0.15%. So it's not extraordinary fees, but when you compare that,
it's like 15% higher than our interest rates at a savings account.
Yeah, well, that's true. But compared to like a Vanguard ETF, which only charges 0.02, you know, or 0.03, like you're paying 5x to have these ESG level funds, 5x in terms of the fees that you're paying. And if you actually look at the holdings within them, it's like, it's a carbon copy, man. It's almost the exact same thing. And if you look at the return on investment, you're actually losing money by investing in ESG. So you're paying a higher fee and you're losing money. So I think that fortunately, because this is, it has created a bubble, because all the whole reason that the ESG funds outperformed the market for the past 10 or 12 years is because everybody else was doing it. And if you know anything about technical analysis, when it comes to stock trades, people just follow trends. So like they knew that this was the new game in town. And, right. And when you have a new game,
get in and out at the right time. Exactly. Yeah. I just wrote about that. Like the growth is not based on earnings. It's based on new investment, and there's new investment because they know it's subsidized, or by law, you're forced to do it. And alternatives, the law is going to say, no, you can't build that. You can't do that. So you're forced to do these, whether they work or not. But the return's not going to be there because they do not work. And this winter, I mean, I think you're going to see a sea change in politicians, Italy, Germany, a lot of places in Europe, maybe even the U.S. A lot of people don't think Biden can physically make it that long. Yeah. And that'll be the end of ESG. It's going to be a massive bubble. There's going to be a lot of suffering from the damage they've already done. And by the way, you can use economic jargon on this show. My audience is pretty nerdy. So, all right, you know, perfect. If they're lost, they're lost, whatever. We did have a shekel check for 218. It says 109 times two. Damn twins. Happy birthday, birthday. Boom. Hey, thank you very much. I'm rubbing my hands. I love the shekels. That's a great birthday gift.
Is I'm it just going to spend today? It.
No, but it's in like 4 days.
Well, happy
and my birthday. My brother's birthday's in 5 days, and we're twins.
My birthday's August 4th, so I'm not far behind you.
Oh, cool. We're all Leos. There you go. Yep. Scott Ritter's birthday was last week, and who else had one? Kate Beckinsale's coming up too.
I just had Judge Knapp on my show today, and he had Scott Ritter on this morning. So,
Judge, I think the judge has one coming up too, and he and Phil Giraldi and Scott Ritter and all, they're going to New York this Saturday. I'm just going to plug their event to do, what is it? Something Garden. The poster's on my Telegram, but if you're around that area, you should definitely go see that. It's always great to hear Scott Ritter speak, or Phil Giraldi, or Judge Napolitano. And there's another speaker too. It was somebody, Chad. I don't have it on the top of my head.
Yeah. I don't actually know about that event, but can I break down the 0809 where it like picks up steam?
Yes. Let's do it.
Okay. So there's no firm evidence. Like I can't prove this because I don't have any documents that actually go, okay, they sat down during the real estate collapse and they concluded, wait a second, we can actually do this way. But if you look at the timing and the uptick in ESG's popularity, and it coincides so perfectly with this leftist populist rebellion that's occurring at the time, where you have Occupy Wall Street, you have people demanding bankers' heads, you have, you know, people rolling out guillotines. It's looking pretty dire for a minute there. And then all of a sudden they go, hey, we're not your enemy. We're focused on, you know, alleviating all of the issues that you care most about. And that's the environment, that's social justice, that's making sure that we have representation in our boards, blah, 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 blah. And it's all lip service. It doesn't amount to anything in reality. But what it does is it really does subdue the populist leftist, you know, kind of Marxist rebellion that seems to be arising at that time. So I think that the coincidence is strong enough that it's hard for me not to say that probably played a factor on top of what you've already pointed out of the gravy train, where they're like, okay, there's massive subsidies involved in any green technology, so it just makes sense to get in on that racket. I think those two things coinciding really line up perfectly to explain why it becomes so popular. And once you get Larry Fink on board, who's the CEO or the, you know, the top of BlackRock, I think he's the CEO. I think that's his position.
He is.
As soon as he gets on board and they're managing $10 trillion and he sends out his own personal open letter to every CEO on the planet every year in which he says, this is what I want to see in your business operations if you expect to see a penny of BlackRock's managed funds. And that is a huge incentive. I mean, so you have the carrot and the stick. You have the carrot of, hey, if you do this, you'll get the funding. The stick is, if you don't do this, we'll rip your funding and the woke leftist mobs will come for your business. Those two things combined is a very powerful motivator. So even the CEOs that are like based in red pilled like us, which I'm sure there's a handful of them out there, they're saying to themselves, fuck
my
this.
My pillow guy.
Yeah. What's that?
The My Pillow guy.
Yeah. Well, right. Right. And look what they've done to his ass. So, I mean, this is really why it's happening. This is why there's so little pushback is it's a full court press, man. It's very hard to beat it.
Did you notice they hit media first, like Disney? Look how woke Disney is. They, because Disney's the second biggest media conglomerate. I mean, they own ABC and movies, sitcoms. So that's all part of the propaganda too. They went after Disney hard.
Yep.
And with this woke nonsense. But woke nonsense. And
they bent the knee.
Yep. They of course they did. Yeah. Part of it is not just the sexual identity. It's the green cult, you know, going after using these people. In Europe, they have the hell they call them, like, not the, we call them end earthers. They call it Extinction Rebellion. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
People
glue
themselves to the road and stuff like that. so you know, crazy. PETA's killed more dogs than Michael Vick.
That's for sure true.
they euthanize all these dogs in Virginia, but it's a theme. Like, they collect money because they do stunts where they dress up like animals and run in front of tractors or whatever, you know. It's like, it's all just a gambit to gather money. The Audubon Society doesn't care about birds or anything. That
Black Lives Matter manipulate
real estate prices and things like that, and that coincided with COVID. So what you were saying, the dovetail of the kind of green cult taking off right after the too big to fail real estate bubble.
Right.
What they do is they hop on different gravy trains. And I'll give you the three, and you can agree or disagree. But one's the MIC. That's a staple. Jump into Raytheon, lot of greed, Martin, da-da-da-da. One is the ESG, green cult, and the other's big pharma. Mm-hmm. I think those are the top three gravy trains because they all get government subsidies.
Yep. And we've been psyoped into accepting all three of them. I mean, we've been psyoped with the 9/11 lies about Iraq and Afghanistan being the origin of the attack. We've been psyoped into the COVID lockdowns, even though it came from Wuhan and they don't allow us to talk about that. Even though the NIH and the NIAID was funding the research that created it, that's a psyop as far as I'm concerned. And then you also have
the same lab that created Nancy Pelosi. You heard. Yeah. I mean, they're the top researchers in bats, so they're probably into vampires. I don't know.
it's not a big leap. And then you have the psyop of the green agenda and the carbon crisis. And once again, it's an invisible enemy. You have racism, which is the invisible enemy too, which is the Black Lives Matter thing. It's like you have the invisible enemy of terrorism, the war on terror. You have the invisible enemy of COVID, a virus which you can't see, and now you have the invisible enemy of carbon.
You can't see any viruses, but yeah, you
know, I know, but I'm just saying. All of them are invisible enemies, and I think that's
not true. You can't. There are some viruses big enough to see. Look at Meghan McCain. Apparently, Joe Biden has cancer, and then they're like, "Joe, you had some skin tags removed a year ago. You don't have cancer."
I think he just misspoke. Honestly, I think his brain is just broken. But
he just like, "I got cancer because I lived in Delaware." What?
He literally said that.
Is that's Delaware full of cancer all of a sudden? What, they got radioactive waste there or something? Like,
well, and he goes back every weekend. Like, what are you doing living there if it's such a cancer, you know, central?
He needs the rest. I don't know. Maybe this is base operations of his little kids he likes to sniff or something. They just sit there. That's how they wake him up in the morning. They buy like children's shampoo and they go under his nose like a box of smelling pneumonia. They're just like, he smells the like Johnson & Johnson shampoo. He's like, what, a little kid? Yeah, yeah.
He gets out of bed like Pepe Le Pew, like smelling the
yeah, yeah. He just girl. Like floats across the room. How did ever start that the French smell bad? Don't they like really love perfumes and stuff? I mean, skunk for the French?
I don't know.
A British author. I don't know.
internalized bias on that one. I don't know.
They just wanted a French character, I guess. Le Pew. It's just somebody what rode around that whole thing. For those kids that don't know, that's a Warner Brothers cartoon character with Bugs Bunny and stuff. It was a skunk, whatever. He's always horny and always like smell bad. So he'd get right up and then scare him away with his stink.
And he's constantly raping this black.
I guess they couldn't make him Italian because that's too on the nose. So they made him French.
Exactly.
It's not, how true does it have to be offensive? Like, we can't make him Italian because it's too close to the reality. So we'll make him French.
It'd be too obvious.
Always horny, but smells bad. I mean, it's pretty much Sicily.
Sicily. Jesus Christ. Hey. You're going to get me canceled again. By the way, I tagged the SPLC this morning on my tweet saying, hey, I'm going to be on ANC Report with Ryan Dawson. We're going to be talking about ESG and how it's suppressing. I literally tagged the SPLC. And I was like, nice. I was like, we're going to be talking about ESG and how it's impoverishing and starving third world countries. You know, things that alt-white Nazis really care about, the third right. world that's starving to death.
Well, it's hitting hard in Sri Lanka and in Ghana. Different situations, but same origin in both places. And again, some of that's also the COVID hysteria and overprinting and everything, but
no doubt
they don't understand when you increase the price of diesel and natural gas, which is where you get a lot of the chemicals for fertilizer. That's it, man. I mean, we had an equilibrium there and people cannot afford it. You can't fill up your tractor.
Well, and then you harvest,
you don't eat.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking simple when you put it like that. But for some reason, these people, I really believe that this is a product of the technocratic mindset.
Dude, liberals just think food comes from the grocery store.
Right.
In the same way, they don't understand that, well, I'll just plug in and get electricity from the building. Well, where's the building get the electricity? Where's the store get the food? Oh, right. From food trucks. Where'd they get it from?
Farm. You know.
Farms. Exactly. And how did the farm grow it? They need fertilizer and diesel. Derp.
Yeah. And some of those fertilizers that work the best have nitrogen in them. And if you ban that fertilizer, well, then you all of a sudden you have people doing backflips into the presidential palace in Sri Lanka. And that's exactly what happened.
Hey, it's the Netherlands are up in rebellion even over there. Because the Netherlands are basically a big farm.
Exactly.
It's Europe's farm. Right. And they're saying they're putting regulations on different nitrates that go into fertilizer and soil. And they staggered it like it's only 5% in some areas, basically 100 in others. And they're just wiping out agribusiness. And this cult started with Joe Lieberman, since the SPLC is watching. They I just lean into it because I'm like, it's so stupid. It's such a. I saw you were in their hit piece too. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
That when the SPLC is going after people like me and you and Reed and whatever, it shows like they have no actual Nazis to burn, right? There are no witches
for real.
To burn. They have to invent them because the US is not a racist country. It is very hell bent on the other way, like overly anti-racist to the point where like we don't have a race problem. We have a race obsession problem.
For real. Just,
you know,
100%.
It really is so stupid. I don't care what someone that's like a conversation. You meet someone and they want to know what your ethnicity background is. Like, what do you give a shit? Like, but that's they what they do. It's right up there with you.
Ask me. Super white.
Well, which kind of white? I mean, are you, you know?
Oh, to them, it doesn't matter. It only matters when you're not white. Right.
It's not interesting unless there's a little, unless you're a POC.
Exactly. And I happen to have a lot of German lineage, so I can't talk about that with the SPLC watching. They'll use it as evidence.
There you go. That's obviously genetic determinism. You know, it's not even all non like. East Asians and Native Americans, they don't care about either of them either because they're not voting blocks.
Mm,
yep. It's only the voting blocks they care about because that's what it's really about. They don't care about the Latinx, Latinx.
They fucked up big time with the Latinx, though, because
breakfast tacos.
That and also Biden's approval rating with the Latin community is like under 30% or under 20% approval rating. It's fucking crazy, dude. I've never
seen because a lot of them work.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, working class people hate his guts. Yeah. They have to drive places.
Yeah,
and it affects blue collar people the most. If you got to pay $45, $50 at the pump for your car.
Oh, dude, it's more than that. It's like $75 now. Oh, it's rough. Yeah,
How much is a gallon of gas where you live?
With me, it's over $5. Yeah.
How much is it in the South? $4.
Well, I'm in Miami, so I'm in probably.
When you go all the way south, you're back in the north.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what people say, and it's totally true. I think it's probably it's like mid to low fours in most of the country.
It was
but
420 when I was in Texas, and I thought it was like 378 to four something in the Carolinas. And I've heard it's over $6 in California in some places, over $5 in Northern California, which is the good part of the state.
For a while, it was over seven in California. I mean, it was absolutely backbreaking. Plus,
well, that's because they have a 9% tax on top of it, you know.
Oh, they have huge taxes on gas. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, you're talking about the blue collar, the working class, and how they're suffering with the price of gas. Dude, if you go shopping, it's insane. I mean, if you're like accustomed to, say, spending
$6 for a watermelon.
Yeah. I mean, if you're accustomed to spending $200 a week on groceries, you're looking at $400 easy now. It's really brutal.
Doubled.
And yeah. And in Miami it has. I mean, it's probably not as bad elsewhere, but it is still absolutely brutal.
It's a lot of people in Miami just alone. I imagine every major city's having those problems.
Yep.
They don't understand the relationship. But like when you raise the prices of oil, gasoline, everything that gets transported anywhere just went up in price. Do they bring food to the store? Yes. Clothing, all these things, any retail anywhere. Think about it.
Well, yeah. Well, then add to this AB5, which is Assembly Bill 5 in California, which has now made it illegal for independent contracting trucking guys. So if you don't work for a full-time employer in California, you can and that is like 80% of the truckers that move, you know, freight off of the ships coming in from the ports. So now you have truckers that are striking in Oakland, and you're going to once again have a fucking backlog of ships that are just sitting waiting for their stuff to get taken off by trucks. And this is why I have to conclude. Like, I know this does happen under communism, so like it could just be that this is a terrible worldview and this is blah blah blah. But to me, it just screams controlled demolition, man. The fact that all of these things line up, you have the ESG, the lockdowns, the printing.
It's almost like we have a president who's beholden, like China's got him by the short hairs, and they're designing a way to destroy the United States from within.
Sure feels that way, yeah.
Dr. Eck says, happy birthday, Dawson's. Clint, where's Reed? Here to life, mates for to life. Well, he's just off screen.
He's down there. He's under the table. Don't worry about it. He's
he's in New Hampshire, actually.
Yeah.
Gonna be they're trying to secede, I think. Like, get all the libertarians in one place. And
so they can drop one nuke on us. That's our whole master plan.
Well, yeah. One drone strike.
Exactly.
I mean, like, if you have all the libertarians in one spot, where's all the women? Oh, both
damn
of them
it.
Are there. Oh, yeah. Right.
Damn it. Stop being so truthful.
That's my joke. Is like, if you go to the Republican National Convention, there's some hotties. You go to the DNC, it is a bunch of horse face goons. Then you go to the Libertarian Party, and there's no girls at all.
It's just dudes. I will say there was more at Porkfest this year than I would have imagined. I mean, it was probably like 40% women. No, I swear there was a lot
of people's girlfriends and wives come. Yeah,
right, right.
But
there's no like hot single girls walking around for the most part. That's
because it's Porkfest.
Yeah,
you do live in the United States.
There are other options. There are other places to go.
I always lord the Asian supremacy. Like, they don't all look like my wife, but that didn't even get on camera. Hell, move it. My joke does not fail. Still not on camera.
Is that actually your wife?
This is my wife. If I can get her on the screen, yeah. People met her.
I believe you.
She's very cute. You know, the calendar is just a bunch of my friends mostly. Where that fell down? Oh, there it is. You'll love this. I mean, this is July's month, right? Look what she's reading.
That is
In the Fed by Dr. Paul, right?
That is pretty fucking base, dude.
That dude, it gets more based. Like, it's base. But they're all I have them all like reading Thomas Sowell and stuff. Like, look at the list of the book. I mean, there's the girl, but like, look at the books there, right? Wealth, Poverty, and Politics, Thomas Fold, Divert by Grant Smith. You got Irving, David Cole, Why Peace, Mark Goodman, Robert Perry's Trick or Treason. I think is my book in there. I think Sean Atwood's on the top. You know,
yeah.
Doug Valentine, you know, CIA's organized crime. I mean, that's, you know, and then a squirrel on the top. And,
is it spinning? Does it spin?
Yeah, it does. It's always twirling. It's the twirl squirrel. We don't know why. It's epilepsy of squirrel or something. Yeah, I got a lot of props here. That says that C or S that way, but yeah, that's how we roll. That's how we do.
For the people that are thinking I'm overstating the ESG stuff, you have 10 trillion under management and BlackRock. You have like 6 to 7 trillion under Vanguard, and then you have
10 trillion.
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
That's hard to get your head around.
I know. It's fucking crazy. That's like
half of the Obama bailout.
I mean, 10 trillion is more than twice the GDP of America.
That's,
I mean,
like thrice the budget of Hunter Biden's crack addiction.
I misspoke, by the way. It's not twice. It's the total money under management that is under ESG guidance, that people estimate is north of 50 trillion. I think America's GDP is like 24 trillion or something like that. So it's basically double. You're talking enough money to completely reimagine the entire economic system that we function under, the entire economy that we actually use for goods and services. I mean, this is a huge threat. Like, I think it's bigger than COVID. I think it's bigger than the military industrial complex potentially. Like, it is enough to change everything. And if we don't actually get some sort of populist movement against it, I think we're doomed, honestly. So I don't really want to starve to death.
Well, you know, we can't really, like, until we get media, there isn't a way to reverse this. I always give this speech, but the media predicates everything else.
You're right.
And, you know, this show, it's not going to be on YouTube or anything. We're not allowed. Can't be on Twitter. We're not allowed. And this is where all the eyeballs are, right? Mm-hmm. So all the time, we have to continue to push Rumble, BitChute, Odyssey, VK, and all these alternatives, whether we're locals or whatever, you know, you're using. Because that's it, man. This, we've always been able to survive stuff. We cannot turn the ship around on this one.
Nope.
This is going to do permanent damage
already
to the United States, to the world. Europe's gone. Like, forget it. Europe was just going to be writing in history when they used to matter and run things. They're committing economic suicide from which they will not recover. There isn't. Yeah. There is no bouncing back after this.
Well,
the only
state
over there going to survive is Russia.
Right. I don't understand why Russia or why Putin is allowing, because he's talking about turning back on the Nord Stream to get oil to, or oil and gas, I think, to Europe. I don't understand why. Like, they are arming Ukraine in the fight. Like, I just, for the life of me, he has them so by the short hairs, as you said. Like, why would he just not break them? He could literally break their entire economy.
He could, but he's going to anyway. But they're doing it to themselves. But
true.
He knows that, like, okay, Canada, for that maintenance part, they were like, we can't give it to Russia. They sent it to Germany, like, you do it. You're like, blah. I don't think he's using the oil weapon for the same reason the U.S. should not have used the dollar weapon. They kicked Russia off SWIFT. And what did that do? Yeah, it did a little temporary damage in the beginning, but then India, Pakistan, like Iran had already done this, but they're looking at that and going, whoa, why should we hold dollars? Because at any moment, if the U.S. doesn't like us for some political reason, they can freeze them all and go to zero. The reason to get off the dollar is not because it's insolvent, not tied to labor. No, like the dollar is pretty good. It's tied to a very large economy. The reason to get off the dollar is because it doesn't matter how many dollars you have. They are absolutely useless if the U.S. comes in and freezes them. Right.
Right.
And so they're like, well, we better diversify our war chest or what have you. We're not going to pay for it in dollars. We're not going to hold dollar reserves because all of our reserves could go to zero.
Yep.
Well, if Russia uses an oil weapon, people are going to be skeptical about doing trade with Russia, because at any moment, if they don't like you, they just cut your oil off. Mm. In the long run, you lose your credibility and faith and say, well, I want to buy oil from you, but I don't want you, after we make these contracts and pay for it, to get mad about whatever and just turn off the spigot, right? So he's keeping the oil flowing, because I also think, they make profits selling it, and they're going to sell it at a higher price. But you know, he's not trying to destroy Europe. Europe's trying to destroy Europe. And yeah, they're going to send their weapons into Ukraine and Russia's going to blow them up. I think if it was, if they were actually worried about what they were sending, they would turn the oil off. Oil, everything I just said wouldn't matter because it'd be, you know, do or die. But
yeah,
I think Russia has this war in the bag. Like, what are you sending? You're sending a bunch of obsolete 10-year-old era, you know, junk. They don't have ammo for some of the guns they have. It is such a, it's such a wasteland. It's a landfill for old gear so that people have the excuse to backlog. Oh, we gave these away, so now we got to build these newer models and run the MIC. The profiteering is undermining their actual physical strategic interests, and they don't care. Because a lot of these politicians are going to be dead before the, you know, the comeuppance and whatever they're making a buck. You know, greed. Greed's bringing them down.
I think you nailed it, man.
I think that's what, that's my best guess, is he doesn't want to use the oil weapon because other peace states are going to be looking around going, well, wait a second. You know, China's going to say, wait, should we buy a lot of oil from you or not? Because they do engage in a lot of human rights violations and all that, and they don't want them to just cut it off one day. Right. Sure. Nobody wants that. So you keep it flowing. If you keep it flowing for your enemies, it does the opposite. Everyone's like, well, I'll definitely buy Russian oil. They won't even cut it off to Germany. Look at what they're doing. That's a safe investment or safe deal. Right.
Right.
So that could be
a great point. No, that's a great point.
Oil industry in Russia, Gazprom's got a lot of sway. They say, hey, we want to sell this. You know,
no, of course. But I mean, my point was
one more reason too. They need to get those. They cannot turn those wells off. Because if that dries up, it takes 12 years to dig it and reopen. They need to keep the flow going and sell it to somebody. Yeah, so I think they are selling until they can get more going to Asia, and then they're going to divert.
Well, what I heard yesterday is that they are actually, like, Russia is selling oil to Saudi Arabia, and then Saudi Arabia is turning around and selling it to America. So, like, Russia is still going to sell their shit regardless. I just think it's tactically smart, like you said, to just represent a stable source of oil so that you can stand apart while the U.S. is kind of standing down. And it
right.
just,
we look and like it's idiots. Like, you're just getting it through middleman and it's more expensive. You're not
exactly
the net's the same. And that's what Joe Lieberman was doing with his carbon credit scam, right? They would say, okay, you have allotments. This was the plan. You're going to have an allotted amount based on greenhouse gases, which included methane. So that roped in all the ranching. They were blaming cow farts, right? It's about as close as you could get to saying bullshit. Cow farts are ruining the world or whatever. But what they wanted to do is monopolize. They didn't want independent agribusiness, ranching and farming. They wanted giant big ag. And so they made this allotment system. And what it did was, okay, you'd be capped at this amount based on the land you had and whatever. And it really favored places like Australia and the United States, which is mostly empty, right? It's just cities on the periphery. But the land count says, well, you get this many allotments because there's this much land, even though it isn't farmland. It doesn't matter. This is how they rig this stuff. So we're going to be able to sell the allotments to third parties. Hmm. Well, if you're a little dinky farm and you're like, well, why should I work and produce to make money when I can just sell my allotments to Big Ag over here and collect the cash from that? So that they did. But when you sell your allotments and you're not producing, now Big Ag has no competitors. Right. They just buy your allotments and increase their production, but their production is all government subsidized and da 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 da. So it was a way of tightening the monopoly and squeezing out what little competitive businesses were left. And then it favored certain states that have lots of open land. Right. And the Europeans, again, commit suicide. If you're like Belgium, you're mostly little cities, whatever. You don't have any allotments. Right. But it favors certain things. And yeah, it didn't pass at first. And you know who's going nuts about the carbon credits to his credit? Mr. Jones. He was going nuts about it. He wasn't explaining what I just did. He did say it was Illuminati did it or whatever. But, he kind of was on the right path. Like, it's a stupid idea. And as it doesn't actually curb greenhouse gas emissions, it just says who all can make them where, right? Like, you're not going to make them, but you're going to sell your allotments to me, and then I'm going to make more than I was, and the net's the same. So you're not reducing your carbon footprint, you're just playing around with where it gets made and furthering monopolies. But that's like too many sentences for a liberal, so you never can explain it to them. because I didn't say race or sex the whole time, so I lost their attention.
I think that's why Alex reverts to just blaming it on interdimensional child molesters, because he realizes on the right wing too, if you actually explain it, that you'll lose people's attention. So you just gotta go, they're demons, they're Satan, they're coming to take your guns. I think that's probably why he doesn't go into detail, but maybe he just doesn't know the details. But there's real explanations. And the lockdowns are another example of how the biggest businesses were able to consolidate and crush competitors. Basically, the past, you know, really my entire life, but the past 2 years, 2.5 years in particular, have been a very stark mergers and acquisitions slash crushing of any competition in every industry out there. It's just pure fascism that we're dealing with.
Yeah. Look at the restaurant industry, all those commercial properties in like New York and Philly and stuff. I wasn't there, but I saw people just go by on like a bicycle with a camera, and it's like empty window, empty window, empty window. They're all gone. All the retail, all the restaurants, gyms, all that, all gone. All the corner stores gone.
Yep.
Because
if you go through LA today, allowed
to do business. They were you can't hire people. And then they're like, well, you're going to have to vaccinate and da, 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 da. So they went out of business. And in San Francisco, it cost $22,000 in regulatory bullshit just to start. So they don't have initial capital. Like, sorry, I cannot be a business in San Francisco anymore. It costs too much. But then what happens? So the price gets suppressed, right? Because the government regulates COVID's amount of business. And then here come BlackRock and Vanguard managing whoever's money for some real estate mogul, Kushner and Epstein, and buys it all up for pennies on the dollar. And then suddenly, oh, look, restrictions of COVID are gone now that two people own the whole block.
Yep, you nailed it. And Blackstone, which was, I think, the foundational company that BlackRock spun off of, Larry Fink is good friends, like, childhood buddies with the CEO of Blackstone. Blackstone.
Blast.
What's that?
Blackstone Blast, BLAST, whatever.
Okay. The CEO of Blackstone, Blackstone itself owns, it's the biggest real estate holding company in the world. So you have the biggest money manager and the biggest real estate holding company kind of working in unison to implement and profit from the consolidation of their entire industry that they compete in. And they did it all.
Conrad Black too, not to be confused with Leon Black or Kofor Black, but Conrad Black in Canada and Hollinger Inc. And they run the Jerusalem Post and all this media and stuff. And it ties right back to government and right back to the unelected part of government. People in the DOD and the advisors and Kissinger and people like that. Pearl, of course. It's like you look under a rock, there's Richard Pearl, right? He's always in there somewhere.
I like to imagine him as like the clown in It, just in the sewer.
Yeah, here, kitty.
No, you're totally right, man. And did you read the article from The Guardian a couple days ago where they were talking about all the deep state, like CIA, FBI, that are all now working for Meta, which is Facebook's company?
I was surprised that got out.
Me too.
And even the New York Times stuck their pinky toe in the water recently, covering some of the Biden nepotism and stuff. But I feel like some people on Wall Street see what's coming. Like, hey, there's a massive ESG bubble. What are we going to do at the end of this? Is my door ring? Oh, I have to get a package. Hold on. I'll give you the floor. You can rant about whatever you hate.
SBLC.
Genius. Here's the question for you. Who's dumber, Jill Biden or Kamala Harris?
Ooh. I'm going to say Kamala. It's obvious that Joe is suffering from severe dementia, so it's close, but I think that at their core, Kamala is just retarded. And Joe, on the other hand, not so much. Anyways, I'll stop with the rant. SBLC, shout out. I'm done. I already said Kamala's stupider. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. I mean, although Jill, the dumbest thing Jill Biden do is marry Joe Biden. But yeah, Kamala, I don't think you can really surpass Russia as a big country. They're going to ring that door in 2 seconds. Anyway, I got to pick up all the water or whatever. I'm the only one home. Sorry, y'all.
No, it's
what it is. But, dude, and Where was I going? The ESG bubble. So is there a way out of it, though? Is there anybody in Europe or any, you know, forget Canada and stuff, anybody trying to reverse this or bringing attention to this?
Yeah, there's a few. The most prominent, or the one that is taking the biggest swing, is Vivek Ramaswamy, who is the founder of Strive Capital Management, and he is creating a competing ETF to go, like an anti-ESG ETF, to go directly at the ESG big boys. So I think that he's the guy that you should be paying attention to. He wrote a book called Woke Inc. for any of the listeners out there, if you want to check it out. It's not a deep enough dive. It doesn't give you the origin story, but it will definitely give you some of the examples of how full of shit ESG is. One of my favorite stories, which I don't think it actually was in this book, but it's a more new one. There was this company, I think it's called Core Civic, which is the biggest private prison operation in America, or one of the biggest. And their answer for increasing their G score, their governance score, as well as their S score, which is their social justice score, was to, they were having issues with reports of their prison guards that were abusing the prisoners. So what they did, instead of, you know, I don't know, remedying the abuse of the prisoners, they put a fucking mural of Martin Luther King Jr. in the workout yard, and that increased their score. I shit you not, that's how they got additional capital financing. It's fucking a scam, folks. It's a scam.
Just paint some George Floyd out there.
Dude, that's basically what they're doing. And it really fucking, it increases your ESG score. It's a total black box. It means nothing, and it gets you trillions of dollars thrown your way. It's fucking wild.
This is the source of this equity wokeness.
Yes, like, it is.
100%. Like if you act like this, you get these. You're paid to just, it's such, oh, didn't, this is the end result of rapid identity politics. By the way, I knew I could just leave and come back again because Clint has his own show. So I'm like, oh, he's not, no problem.
I was rocking, dude. I was like, I wanted to get that story out about the private prison. I mean, there's other horror stories out there, but it's just so transparently fraudulent. But this is, you are exactly right. This is the primary reason that the wokeness has taken over, not just corporate America, but our entire, you know, culture, is because everybody has, you know, not everybody, but the vast majority of people have corporate jobs. So they go to their job and their HR department is telling them, hey, we're going to have to do these training courses. This ties into DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Yeah. And then from the school level, they now have SEL, which is social emotional learning. All three of these mechanisms, SEL, DEI, ESG, all of them are a birth to death mechanism to implement wokeness in our culture and our civilization.
DIE, die.
Yeah, I wish. Well, we will. We will. Don't you worry.
It's going to strangle us, although I think the pendulum is about to really swing to the right this November, unless they just cheat, which, you know, even with the cheating, I don't think they're going to make it. Just talking about that with my brother, he said in the schools now, it's not just like people pretending to be the other sex. There are people wearing like cat ears and tails and stuff. And because it's like, oh, I'm a cat person, which means you can't say anything to me. I have God powers because I can get fired. You know, it's like Gabe Hoffman, a little 5 foot nothing. He's like, well, if you criticize me, I'll say you hate Jews. And if you get accused of that, that's like saying somebody's a rapist. It doesn't matter if you're exonerated, you're filth forever. Like you can't come out of that clean. Right. Yeah. Because America is not a racist country at all. It's hyperly the other direction.
This is the only reason I pursued this path so aggressively, is I knew, you know, as soon as the Mises Caucus was listed in the SPLC article a month ago, right before the Reno takeover of the Libertarian Party, I knew eventually I would be dragged in. I didn't think it would happen so fast, but I did this with eyes wide open. I knew that if I was going to talk about, you know, ending the Federal Reserve and ESG and all the insanity of wokeness, like I was going to be labeled a fucking alt-right.
Look, this is what they do, because I've been dealing with this forever. They, when you're effective in speaking truth to power, they're just going to call you a Nazi or whatever, because it works. Like, although it's working less and less, because the more people they hurl that at, like I'm on Canary Mission with people like Max Blumenthal, and who's Jewish and not a racist at all, whatever. And like pretty prominent, like Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, who's also not a racist at all, whatever, but he supports Palestine. So like, you hate the Jews. Yeah. And it's like, A, that's going to cause actual anti-Semitism, because racism begets racism. But two, they're wearing out the Nazi label. But the thing is, there are some people who fit the bill, like Richard Spencer, and he gets to be on CNN. and give his speech. But people who are nothing, that label doesn't apply to them at all, like you, like myself, they're just like, oh, you're the worst people in the world. And I'm thinking, you have no one that you can really go after, because I feel like they like anti-Semitism a little bit. Like, they want those people saying crazy stuff so they can point to it, get more donations,
absolutely,
whatever, you know. But you're really talking, like, you can, there's so few of them, you can name them all. You know, it's like Dr. Duke, this Eric Stryker, or whatever. Just a few people with zero power whatsoever to say mean things on the internet. You know, like, every institution, every university, every media outlet, every bank, everything is totally 100% against racism and prejudice, and that's a good thing. But the problem is, because we're so anti fill in the blank prejudice, that means they realize just the accusation alone can get people fired. So if you want to deplatform somebody, just call them a racist. You want to get someone fired from the job, just say they're a sexist. You want to get someone kicked out of university, say they're homophobic or trans, whatever. And so they realize this is kryptonite. Any corporation, whatever, they're so far gone the other way that all I have to do is accuse people of this, and I can get rid of whoever I want. And they do. And that's happened on Twitter and other places too. And so this tiny radical minority has its voice amplified by like a factor of a million, because the most intolerant wins. And they can go through and just yell phobic ism, and purge anyone interesting or intelligent out of social media, out of the regular media, out of the workforce. And it's gotten to the point where they're actually creating racism, because, like, if you're a straight white male, you can't get hired until all the other categories are full.
Right. Which is going to create
prejudice. Well, it creates, it's racist itself to whites. So that's already bad. And then you're undermining the credibility of everyone else, because they don't know if they're really qualified or just the best in their category. It's a slap in the face to minorities. There's no good that comes of it.
None. But
this, they see it. And this, you know, this, all this stuff was beta tested on Indian reservations. It's the attitude of the outright racist that just thought Indians are incapable and savage or whatever. And then you've got like the left-wing racist that thinks, that treats them like children who can't take care of themselves. So we're going to go in and welfare everybody, and they can't own their own land. They're not ready for freedom. You saw this a bit about Muslims and Iraqis and stuff too. Like, oh, they're not ready for democracy and freedom. We have to set it up for them or whatever, because they can't do this, which is also racist, you know, or whatever. That's real racism. And that's ignored. But the fake kind, like, oh, you're not, you don't have an even number of left-handed green-eyed Eskimo or whatever. Dude, that's what they're trying to enforce. Like, you got to have one of each of these things. Why are you making all these categories? That doesn't make any sense, right? No. How far is it going to go? You're going to hire people a certain height next. You know, oh, you don't have enough short people. Oh, you don't have enough bald people. Oh, you don't have enough this. You don't have enough that.
We're already there, man. We're already there. That's what's happening. And what just really
Canada to see the future, right?
Yeah, no shit. But I mean, the real hopeful thing in this is that the left, as it progresses, it does eat itself. So it's going to eat itself, but it's just like, how much do we have to suffer in the interim before it collapses? And I think the answer is a lot, because the vast majority of people are still so afraid to speak out. And I think probably half of the country feels similarly to how we do when it comes to like hating the wokeness and hating this agenda to divide us and to make us feel miserable about ourselves, or make us feel like victims or oppressors or whatever. But the vast majority of people, because exactly. But
so nasty.
But their paycheck depends on it, so they won't speak out. And it's like, if you would just speak out, you'd know you're not alone. But they won't.
Yeah. Well, where I live, they're not doing any of this. Japan's been a conservative country for like the last 55 years in a row, and it just went even more right wing after Abe got assassinated.
I would imagine.
They're not having this. But I laugh, and people are like, "Hey, Rye, why'd you move to Japan?" Well, go look outside. That's all I have to say. Walk outside and look around. That's why.
It's probably pretty nice. Was it a Chinese?
I mean, go outside of the U.S. and look around at all the crazy. That's why I'm gone. You know.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, was it a Chinese operative to take out Abe?
No, that is garbage online. What happened was actually far more interesting. Tatsuya Yamagami was, I've met him before, actually. I was the goodwill ambassador for NARA, the state. Okay. So I know a lot of these people. And his mother had donated $1 million to the Unification Church, which is out of Korea. So his father killed himself. Then his grandfather died. And the construction company went to his mom. They used to own a construction company. They were millionaires. She gave away everything to the church. And they lived in poverty, him and his siblings. And he grew up with this great resentment. Like, they would keep coming back to her. She'd be bankrupt. And then she'd just sell off whatever else they had, get the money, give it to the church. She went insane when the father died. And he blamed Abe's grandfather for bringing the Unification Church to Japan. Now, he's wrong but what he's doing is he went online and he read a bunch of left-wing garbage. Because the left wing says, oh, Abe visits the shrines of war criminals and he wants to militarize Japan. And blah, blah, blah. That's the Japanese CNN. Okay. It's total crap. Abe is not a member of the Unification Church and no one in his family ever was. The only overlap they had with the UC which is a Nicene Christian cult in Korea that wants to unify North and South Korea, but they hate communists. Abe is part of Nippon Kaigi, which is a far right, bring back the emperor, Shinto, Japanese nationalist, right wing, change the constitution, bring back the army, bring back the option of offense, change Article 9. And they also hate communists. So the only overlap these two organizations have is they hate communists. So back in the day, they brought the Unification Church over to Japan. Because Abe's grandfather worked with the Yakuza and the CIA was using organized crime to break up labor unions and strike because they were like paranoid about communists. Turns out they were right. There really were a lot of communists coming in there. But anyway, that's all I did. The whole overlap was hating communists in China. And part of hating communism is really just hating China. That's sad to say. But whatever. But it had
the assassin was just propagandized into...
His family lost $1 million because he read all this propaganda, blamed it on Abe for his family bringing the church over. He couldn't get the head of the church, who's in South Korea. So he made a homemade gun or cannon, whatever, and shot Abe. And he actually practiced because he didn't want to hit anyone else. He just wanted to hit him. And it's silly because, like, he's no longer the prime minister. He's retired, and shooting him the day before an election just made the LDP get even more seats than ever. Right. Yeah. You're still in charge. But he was at the point like, I can no longer care about the political consequences of this. He has to die. It ruined his life. He tried to kill himself in 2005, right after he got out of the Japanese Defense Force, so that his younger sister could get his life insurance because they were so sick of being poor.
That's brutal, man.
Yeah. And it is brutal because, like, that happened. And then there was the 08 bubble. There was the, 400 year anniversary of Nara City in 2010. And then they're, you know, Rona and all this stuff, and they just couldn't bounce back, but he'd already tried to kill himself once. And he worked a forklift for a construction company, in the, like, the Tomio, Minami, Koma area, right near Yamato Saidaiji, where he killed Abe. And he quit in May. So there was a red flag. Like, he desperately needed a job and money, and he quit the job that he had that May because he was already planning to go to prison or be killed by the system, right? And he started practicing his homemade guns. He had some really interesting ones. He had like a 9-barrel one, a 6-barrel, 6-shot one. He used CO2, he used different accelerants, and then he settled on what he settled on.
Wow.
But it had nothing to do with China or any of the conspiracies online. It was just like a guy whose family had lost everything. They went from millionaires to zero. You know, and I often tell people don't enjoy velocity, only acceleration.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the same thing with sorrow. If you'd never been a millionaire, it doesn't really matter. But if you have one and lost it, that's a lot of pain. You know.
Hell yeah. So if you're poor from jump, it's not you don't know any different. But if you've right. had money, if you've eaten, filet mignon,
living that way, and you know you could have been that way and expanded it, and it was generations to gather all that wealth and gone from one idiot lady, right?
Yeah.
He should have shot his mom instead of shooting Bobby.
Right.
He should have shot his mother, like in the middle of it. You should mom wasting all the money, bam. Right. The church is gonna find a sucker, but the sucker holds responsibility too. Right. You've got children that you can't feed because you've given away all of your money and possessions. It's sick. It was like worse than following Stefan Molyneux. What's he say? Fubar, what's he?
Yeah.
Safu, your family. I don't remember the phrase. It's like leave him, is what he was saying. He had some weird word for it though, but
yeah, man, that's Defu.
Defu, that's what it was. Defamily, yeah. Defu, what a dork. yeah. Every time I see him, it's like his head's talking like a South Park character.
Does kind of look like that. Not gonna lie.
You know, he got kicked off YouTube too, and it's like, what happened to that guy? When you're not on YouTube, you disappear. It doesn't matter how huge your audience was. Once you're off YouTube, you're out of sight, out of mind. Right?
Yeah.
How it is, and as I know, but man, we're trying hard to build up alternative media, and this should be the topic at hand. Like I cover Ukraine a lot, and I think that's also an important thing, and it is adding to this problem. But do not let them blame the war. This is liberal policies that are destroying the Western world.
100%.
Green agenda. Because it's a giant gravy train, and these money managers and financials know that it's a sure bet, and they're putting all their eggs in one basket.
Yep. Well, that and the lockdowns, which was liberal, you know, progressive type liberal policies.
Hysteria for the lockdowns too, yep. And you know they are not covering the gain of function research from Echo Health in Wuhan creating the virus because they don't want Trump to be right. So they cannot admit it. He kept calling it the China virus and all that, and it turns out it actually was made in lab. They don't want him to be right, so they're running smokescreen and cover because they can't stand him, right?
Yeah,
he wasn't establishment-y enough, right?
Yeah, well, it's and
don't like that
from my point, from my perspective. It's just creating a Streisand effect where all I want to do is look into the Wuhan Institute of Virology because of their misdirects, so they're kind of fucking up in that regard.
Well, you can want it all you want, but they're not going to do it. So
yeah, well, I mean, I can't get the CCP to actually release the information, but it's like at this point I'm convinced that's where it came from, and I'm convinced that we were actually paying for the research. So
it's genetically traced back there. I mean, we've had whistleblowers out of China talking about the bats and all that. They first
like a year ago
this lab in Australia, Sky News went and filmed them, bats in cages in the lab, and they even talked about what happens when they bite you. What?
Yep. Yeah. And we gave them a couple hundred million to upgrade their ventilation system in, like, I think it was August of 2019, right as the release is happening. It's like it all adds up, man. I hope
that leads into the travel industry and all these other things that the COVID hysteria hit up, you know.
Oh,
it's a double whammy. You got that plus like the diversity hire crap where air travel within, especially internationally in the US right now, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, man.
Everyone's getting canceled constantly, and just they can't handle it. And the entry level people don't deserve to be there, but they have to do them. They have to hire these people. Like, do you speak Spanish at all? You're hired,
right?
Even if they have no other skill set. Well, that's not a good business model.
Yeah,
they can't.
I think we're going to see, you know, plane crashes and shit. Like, we're going to actually see real catastrophes because of this, the mismanagement, both in terms of like
force a certain number of female pilots. Is that what you get? That's what a sexist would say, right?
That's kind of what I was hinting at. Yeah.
No, for real though, if you force, doesn't matter what it is.
I know.
If you're not forcing people to hire pilots that aren't qualified, then they're going to crash.
Yeah. They don't have enough training, and you're forcing the older pilots that have, you know, 10,000 hours under the, behind the wheel, you know, into retirement. And it's also fucked up. Actually, last week on my show, I can't disclose what airline he works for, but he was a pilot in America. I had him on to break down why, because I travel a lot because I speak kind of professionally now, right, at different Liberty events and things like that. And and I'm traveling constantly. I'm flying all the time. And I was stuck in New Jersey for 3 days, even though I was fucking trying to travel from Boston to Miami. And I ended up fucking in New Jersey for days. And I was like, what is happening? So I go out on Twitter. I have enough of a following that I could ask. And I get
that is a personal pilot. Hell for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's New Jersey
for 3 days. Like, of all the places in the United States to get stuck.
Bro, they put me in the most cracked out hotel I have ever been, or motel or whatever the fuck it was. It was horrifying. It was not fun, but there's a lot of reasons for it. I mean, the vaccine mandates added to it. The lockdowns that broke the supply chains also added to all sorts of pressure. Forced pilots to resign.
Like, what's everybody that? With agency didn't want to get a vaccine and quit. So you're just nothing but NPCs, and they can't. They're just following a script, and anything that goes off that script, they don't know how to handle.
Well, and then you also have customers who are fucking vicious to these people because they're miserable because they're wearing a mask for 6 hours as they fly across country. You have people that are just quitting outright, and they're like, well, plus I can get unemployment insurance if I quit. Plus, a pilot, I learned this, if a pilot claims they have anxiety or anything, if they just say, I can't fly, they don't fly, and they can't get fired. So you have tons of pilots that are just calling out, like, because they feel like they're not getting paid adequately. So it's all just government created.
Yeah, I guess if they've got anxiety, you don't want them suiciding with everybody else on the plane, right?
Right. No, I mean, it's a reasonable,
the reason, but that's so easy to exploit at the same time. But then how
exactly?
Do you, right. Well, how you get around is you don't make conditions so shitty that they're going to use that loophole.
Exactly. Yep. So we're in trouble, man. The economy is going to get real ugly here in the next year or so.
Dude, they can't even mail things. Like, I'm dealing with times I sell stuff. And like, I tried to get an American phone mailed to Japan. It just got returned to sender. They don't know where Japan is because it says Nippon on the computer or whatever. Like, I remember being in Los Angeles, sending a package to the Netherlands, and the woman kept writing Northern Ireland. I said, it's not. She's like, this place isn't in Northern Ireland. I'm like, that is correct. And she just looked at me, the 50-yard stare, and I said, it says Netherlands. And then she's like, oh, I tried that first. That's not in the computer. I said, try Holland. And she's like, why do you want to go to the Holland? I was going to the Netherlands. And I was like,
oh my God, dude.
Okay. It's the same place. And you work in a post office. I mean, geography is the only thing you need to know.
We're in trouble, man.
This isn't like Liechtenstein or something. It's the fucking Netherlands.
I know.
You don't know where the farm is? Come on. Airlines are just, all right, you think, okay, the number one, the post office needs to know geography the most. Number two is probably travel, right? Probably airlines.
Yeah.
I'm going to Osaka, second biggest city in Japan. Three women in a row didn't know where that was.
What?
Well, we can get you to Japan, but not your final destination. I said, that's okay. Get me to Tokyo. I'll take a train. They just like, but you can't get to Osaka. I'm like, Osaka's also in Japan.
Holy shit, dude.
Really? Three women in a row.
I'm telling you, we're in so much trouble. We have such stupid people from like the employment ranks, and then we have the worst possible government on top. It's like, I don't know how you survive that.
There's another one that involves New Jersey. So I wasn't allowed to leave Texas because of Rona. So I go to Florida until I could pass the test. And I'm like, okay, as soon as I pass the test, I booked a flight, 7 a.m, get out of here. Because that means 5, right? In midnight, they send me an email. Oh, you've been changed to 9:30. I go, okay. But I had a connection in New Jersey. And they were wanting me to get a cab in New Jersey and then go to JFK in New York and then fly out of JFK to San Francisco and then go to Japan or whatever.
No way.
Or no, straight all the way to Tokyo and then Tokyo to Osaka. I'm like, yeah, but if I don't leave at 7, if I leave at 9:30, I'm not going to have time to get to JFK anymore with all security and traffic and whatever. I'm like, I can't do this and I cannot miss this flight. This is the second time I've had to pay for it already. This woman's like, no problem. I'll fix it for you. And she gets in and she's like, now I got you going to Newark and then from there to San Francisco and from San Francisco to Japan, you're going to get there at the same time. I said, how's that possible? Well, you're going to leave San Francisco at 1 a.m. or whatever. I'm like, okay, lady, Japan's a day ahead already, and it takes a day to get there. So that's 2 days. And how can I leave San Francisco at 1 and then get to Japan at like 8 p.m. yesterday? That's not possible unless I'm traveling through time. And this is the greatest thing. She's like, oh, she got the date. If she says she got the days wrong, I'm like, okay, I'm getting Japan at 7 a.m. and you just want me to sit in Tokyo until 8 p.m. and then get a connection flight to Osaka? I could almost walk there faster. You have a like 18-hour or 12-hour something sitting there. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you? They finally corrected that. I like business class because of this. But I end up getting Japan a day later than I was supposed to, and that was the limit. I'd already lost 5 days because of COVID. Didn't get my visa in on time. Had to go through the headache. So now I have a 3-year visa instead of 5 because I didn't get my paperwork fast enough because I couldn't get home quick enough.
Oh, my God, dude.
And if that stupid ass had just, if they hadn't canceled my flight and got me there by the 12th instead of the 13th, I could have done all my stuff and had it in, and I'd have a longer visa. Now I don't because of Rona, the panic and diversity hire, and just the sheer fucking stupidity of American Airlines and United Airlines. I'm like, at first, American Airlines butchered it. So then I got United. They were not any better. It's just, I will not fly. I don't care what it costs. I'll do Hawaiian or, you know, all Nippon Air or Korea, whatever. I will fly to China and then fly China Air all over the U.S. before I will fly on American Airlines or United. I will never, ever fly with them again after all that. Never.
Well, that's how I feel too, man. I think I was on Delta that fucked me. But it left. Yeah.
Delta stands for do not expect luggage to arrive.
Dude, allegedly they used to have like the most on-time flights, but every airline's fucked now. Every single one. I mean, in America at least.
Well, you look at the employees.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they look like Sloth from the Goonies when you ask them a question. And he's thinking, okay, that's the other thing. I get there early. They don't have my boarding passes. I have to wait in line. There's only 4 people. No problem. That took an hour and a half because the woman at the desk kept leaving and coming back again. You know, what the hell she was doing? She, I use her phone, you know. Like, you're at work. Work. They act like it's an inconvenience because now, here's another great thing about America. If you're like in a Walmart or something and you need to get a thing, it's locked up in a case. Because so many people steal, because you're allowed to just steal $950 worth of stuff because equity or whatever. And so somebody's sitting there doing their nails, whatever, you know, and you're like, can I see this? And they're like, oh, I got to go get the key and then walk over there and open the thing for you. Sorry to burden you to work while you're at work. And that's so it. I think stores lose money because, like, I'm not asking for a second thing because it's such a chore to get the employee to go over there and unlock the case. And why are all these things locked in cases? The only thing not locked in case is the vegetables and the sunscreen.
Well, and everyone's so demoralized now. Like, you have enormous amounts of people that are unwilling to work. So the people that are willing to work don't have to do a good job because they know the employer can't replace them because they already have 10 or 15.
Yeah. Andrew Yang, thanks a lot. Let's just pay everybody to do nothing. Because people work for the enjoyment of their job, right? No, people work for money. Dirt. No one likes the job.
By the way, for your audience's information, the article that was written about myself and Reed and Dave and the Mises Caucus was written because we are affiliated with Ryan Dawson and because we were at an event speaking where Andrew Yang was going to be speaking, and they had to try and connect some sort of fucking crazy daisy chain of dots to make him affiliated with Ryan. So,
and then I'm smeared for being affiliated with I don't know. They never, Michael Piper and David Cole.
Yeah.
Michael's
dead,
by the way. And there's nothing wrong with David Cole. He writes for Tacky Magazine with Ann Coulter and a lot of people. But, you know, well, all that shit started because I used to be on Russia Today and they hate Russia. And so this guy named Adam Holland did this smear piece called me a Holocaust denier who's friends with hate criminals. And there's something else. And RT's Holocaust denier friends with hate criminals. Article's since been removed, but the smear still lingers on. I didn't work for RT. I just appeared on RT. Like I appear on Press TV or Al Jazeera or whatever.
Of course,
Which I deserve. I know geopolitics. That's why I get called and I answer and whatever, and they've never censored me. I don't work there. I'm not a Holocaust denier, and I'm not friends with hate criminals, whatever the fuck that is. But, you know, I interviewed revisionists and stuff on everything, on World War II, Civil War, whatever. But that's the one they honed in on.
Yeah.
And that follows me around.
What, like, what year was that when that was first written? Like, 2014
or something like
It's 14. Okay.
I think so. And unless they, I mean, and then I was on Israeli TV getting smeared back in like 05. Well, this is how they're clever. This is what they did. Some guy, Mike Delaney, who was like a Christian identity, white supremacist or something. Some other dude I never heard of that I think he's related to Tom Metzger or something. And then me. And what they did is they showed the Mike guy saying some outrageous anti-Semitic bullshit. And then, and they showed the other guy saying some outrageous bullshit. And then they just sort of sandwiched footage of me in the middle, but I wasn't saying anything because I've never said anything like that. So they just like placed me in between two Nazis. They never actually called me a Nazi, but they implied it by sandwiching me in with people who actually profess that stuff. And I'm like, what's hilarious is the video they chose, I was saying the exact opposite.
Yeah,
I was challenging these people. I'm like, dude, Jews aren't Zionists. Zionism is a political ideology, not an ethnic group. And Judaism is a religion slash ethnic group, depending on how the person defines it. They have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, there's like, many Christian Zionists that have ruled our political establishment.
Right. Yeah, the past 20 years. Anybody can be a Zionist. You don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. Anybody can be a Zionist. Usually they're Jewish because it tends to be Jewish supremacists or Jews, white supremacists or white, black supremacists or black.
Of course.
But you don't have to be, you know.
Right.
You could be in it for religious nutty reasons or whatever. But it's like, I know that they know that it's not true and they did it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. And the way they clipped content of mine, I'm like, how much shit did you watch to find that? Means you know from listening to me for over the years what my positions really are. And then you clip something out of context, the Them Every Time video. And then you clip off the end, you clip off the beginning, and you go, oh, look, this one time he said the J word. I'm like, yeah, right after they killed Soleimani. But I say that for every other group. I say the Kurds, the Russians. I don't have to go, well, not all of them. You know, like, you know what I'm fucking saying. Right. But they don't care. It's disingenuous trash. And the real reason they hate me is because I criticize Israel. That's all it is.
Course.
And they do that to everyone, every prominent anti-Zionist there is. You know, Gideon Levy, Max Blumenthal, whatever, it gets called anti-Semitic or self-hating Jew or whatever. They went after Norman Finkelstein. I think they fired him, got him out of tenure. And why? Because he went against Israel. That's why. He's not anti-Semitic. He's Jewish himself. And he's not a collectivist. Well, he's not religious. He's an atheist, but whatever. He's of Jewish descent. What? I don't know. That stuff confuses me. I'm like, if you're not religious, then you're not Jewish. To me, right. You don't inherit Christianity, right? You just believe in Jesus or you don't.
I think they believe that it's by the mother's blood. I think I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, but that's part of the religion. So if you rejected religion, you should reject that part of it. That being
the chosen race and
stuff, right? Yeah. If you're really 100% atheist, then all that's garbage. There is no King David. There's no Adam and Eve. The whole thing is whatever. Like, I don't know. I think they're just less religious. They're still religious. They just don't believe in all of it or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
It's all stupid identity politics to me.
Yeah. And it's just, I hate it.
You can define yourself by like, oh, I'm related to this and this and this and this. I'm like, okay, I'm American Indian. Should I be smoking tobacco and getting drunk every day? No, I'm just kidding. Like, whatever the thing is, like, dude, whatever, you know. I live
you
in
should
Japan.
Definitely open. You should definitely open a casino. I mean, if you're going to be Indian.
Well, guess who had casinos first?
Oh, really?
There's a statistic on that. Oh, by the way, if you look at who really owns Indian casinos, they're like 1/132nd Indian. And guess what the other portion is? and what they do is they'll say, oh, this percentage of Indian reservations have gambling. But when you really look at the statistics, if you have bingo, that counts as gambling because everybody buys a bingo board. And like, so lots of people have bingo in any town. That is not the same as like slot machines and craps and stuff, but they count that as, oh, see, all these Indians are doing gambling. They're allowed to gamble. I'm like, you're allowed to gamble on that level too. And what is you? It's a negative, right? What do you mean they're allowed to? You're naturally allowed to gamble. You're only not allowed to gamble if someone says you can't. Right, that's you can do that anyway. It's not something you're giving. You're not giving them that, But that welfare system, man, because Indians don't own their own land. They have like, it goes into a trust into the BIA. And what happens is if someone dies, then all their kids get even portions. And it gets to a point after a couple of generations where, since you need unanimous consent to do anything with land, but you got like 50 people that own pieces of it, or, you know, you own shares of it. You don't actually own the land. The BIA owns everything. The Bureau of Indian Affairs, which we call Bossing Indians Around. That's what it really is. And they bottlenecked the court cases and all that. And so you end up with communism, really, because the state owns 90% of the land, 95% of the land. And there's a welfare system and just, you know, they got the company store and, oh, we're going to the trading post and whatever. And it brings the results that welfare is brought to any other place. A bunch of alcoholism and problems, and, you know, they're all eating processed foods because that's what they offer them, just the bare minimal, and that causes health defects and da, 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 da. It's disgusting, man. But like, they are suffering from the same socialist hell as any other state that's tried it.
Yeah.
And I agree with Russell Means. Let them have sovereignty over their own land. They won't, because they treat Indians like children. Like, oh, you're not ready to govern yourselves.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. They're people like anyone else, and they can govern themselves.
Of course.
Nothing's worse than having other people govern. Like, who can govern things that are in their own interest? You know, better than that. Like, oh no, we're going to let some outside force decide what to do with your land. Well, by the way, we're going to give it all to Peabody Coal and all these foreign companies.
Yeah, like they're not going to take advantage of that position.
99 years and take out all the uranium, which you're going to mine. And then we're going to put the nuclear waste in your sacred mountains. How about that?
Fucking ridiculous, man.
That was not a sarcastic thing. That's a real life example I just rattled off.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Didn't it seem like the Babylon Bee, like, you can't, like, they got to have a really hard time. Because when you say stuff like, I actually fell for this. They're like, oh, Joe Biden just passed $30 million for crack pipes. I'm like, aha, funny. No, like, really.
No. Yeah, no, for real.
Babylon Bee, that didn't happen. Or archaeologists are now being pressured by woke groups to stop labeling skeletons as male and female.
It happened.
That's also a real story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically all they do is they just, like, they take two stories and they combine them, just, and they, like, they escalate it one level ahead. So it'll be like, Biden declares that he has cancer, but don't worry, it's just his dementia speaking, and like, that's the headline. So it's tough to parody this clown world. It really is.
It was such a letdown. You're just talking about skin tags from years ago. I thought he really had cancer. I was like, let's go.
I was pumped.
Then I was like, wait, can he give it to Kamala? Because you cannot even get excited about Joe Biden getting popped off, because look what's waiting in the wings. You couldn't find a more vapid, clueless, brain dead woman in the United States. How did she get to that position? It had to be a lot of dicks.
Dude, incredible. Yeah. No gag reflex, just like she head game.
She must be good at that. Because
unbelievable.
I don't know how she got there.
Yeah, she's got to be the best on the planet. Like, literally. I really believe that.
She just pull out her dentures or something. I don't know what it is. Like, when you see a woman like that, who's just a fucking idiot in a position like that, you're like, how many dicks? Like, it's like, how many licks to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop? You're old enough to remember that. Yeah.
How many dicks to the center of the
yeah, how many dicks to this palace. CEO position or whatever? Like, how many? I mean, she goes to work wearing knee pads. Like, there's no way, like, just having a brown vagina is not enough, because there are other people with brown vaginas that are way more qualified than her. So it's not just this equity stuff. Like, she did not just get hired for having a colored pussy. She must be a Hoover vacuum down there or something. Some kind of skill, because there's no other explanation.
She's a great public speaker.
Tulsi's a brown vagina and she's smart. She would hired her.
Yeah.
Picked her. No. And
no.
That would have done all the same check boxes, right? But she's married and loyal and not wearing knee pads.
Yep.
Where,
and she actually thinks Kamala, for herself. So
Kamala was that. Like the secondary hoe for Montel Williams. She wasn't even like the primary girl. She was like the one that walked behind the other one.
Yep. It was Montel and Willie Brown.
The Godfather on WWE. Like the local one they hired, right?
And then Kamala ends up with this Dougie cat, which is like the most obvious homosexual I've ever seen in my life. But whatever.
More obvious than Lindsey Graham?
No, you're right. I take it back.
There is a scale. Like on a scale of like David Bowie to Richard Simmons.
too bad we don't have Eric Jackman here to do the the Lindsey Graham impersonation.
Oh, I know. It's gonna take boots. Some sound ventilation on those boys. I can't do that.
No, that's pretty good. He always goes there. Anyways, man, I gotta grab some food and head to bed. You got any other ESG questions for me?
Well, you know what? I'll just refer to where he's been talking about it. So I'll go to Liberty Lockdown and listen to about ESGs. Are you on Substack?
No, I'm not. I'm not actually.
Should be, because then you could put your videos on there and also any articles you want on there. And people.
But you can put videos on Substack? I didn't know
that. You can now. Yeah.
Okay. Dope. Yeah, I'll do it then.
That's kind of a new thing they started about 4 months ago.
Okay. So, sweet.
I see Woo Pop Pop and Get a Boosha Vaximal on Rumble. I just read those. Checking. Holy shit. Well, I got to go over these. I just looked at Entropy. I'll go quick. B Hayes 82, happy shekels. Chip Walker says for Scott since 5, he was on before you. James Edward 333, not the aviator glasses though, the one for the Gipper. Oh, thank you. Dusty Boots, there's Lindsay. For a Dead Jackson says happy birthday, Rye. You're my favorite fact checker. What do you guys foresee in the U.S. real estate market? Things are definitely shifting. Did you answer that while I was gone?
No, I'll answer it real quick. Inventory is still hyper low, so I don't think that you're going to see the collapse that we ought to, because obviously supply and demand still matters. There's not nearly enough supply to meet the demand. The demand is obviously decreasing because the increasing interest rate cycle makes your dollars go less far in terms of your borrowing capacity. So you're going to see some price compression, but I don't think you're going to see the bottom fall out until we have major layoffs. And I think the major layoffs will probably be sometime next year, unless the Fed reverses course on their promised interest rate hikes. If they do that, then all bets are off. But if they proceed with their stated plan of 3 more half point interest rate hikes over the remainder of the year, look out below. The economy is going to be fucking demolished. So that's
going to lower the yen and the yuan too. 2 cent Canadian sends 25 Canadian says, I know it's only a nickel American. Times are crazy in commie Canada, but all the best to you and your family. Sarah, hope everyone's healthy and 100%. Your work has had a large impact in Canada. Thank you, Dagnalon. And then he does the double Dagnalon, which we joke about. It's like if you go from like Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, there's another like diagonal line. It's all pretty base. Centrality says, where do you guys see the world the next 2 years? I mean, famine this winter. That's what I see.
Yeah, dude. I think the third world in particular is going to be fucking annihilated because of the supply chain breakdowns. I think the economy in the first world will be very, very rough, but it really depends tremendously on Fed policy. So pay attention to that closely.
I see a lot of violence too. Like as things get squeezed, you're going to have more shootings and just random.
It's already gotten pretty bad over the past 2 months. We've had like six like major mass shootings. So
hey, I was drinking Rittenhouse, reading some Charles Dickens.
Get it? Drinking Rittenhouse.
Kyle Rittenhouse and Dickens was the shooter that shot the shooter.
Oh shit! All right, yeah. Main
justice. Aaron Jimzu says Kamala can suck a golf ball through a garden hose.
That's a fact.
Yeah,
that's an absolute fact.
It's still funny. Suck a golf ball through a garden hose. I think she could probably suck a beach ball through a garden hose because there's something that must be her skill. I don't know what it is.
Suck a football through a garden hose. She could take the take the polish off a trailer hitch or something like that.
Right. Yeah. We're getting into the territory that I am good at, but it probably shouldn't in this like intellectual discussion with a nonnier than a nonnier, but yeah. Anyway, Clint Russell, ladies and gentlemen, Liberty Lockdown, still on all your alt stuff, and I think he's going to get a sub sack. We'll see.
I will for sure. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it is at Liberty Lock Pod. I'm about to hit 50,000 followers, which is crazy. So it'll probably won't last, but you know, I'm over there for now. So check me out.
I would not have said your Twitter on my stream, but okay, you can roll the dice.
Wait,
I hate
thing?
I hate this guy. I hope he gets kicked off Twitter.
Oh shit. Uh-oh. Well,
no, I mean they'll do the opposite of whatever they think I want. So
okay, good.
50,000, congratulations. I think I had that once upon a time. Take it all away. So yeah, it sucks. Well, yep.
They're coming at for me eventually.
On YouTube, it sucks. On the like sixth or seventh one.
I don't really talk about Israel and Palestine, so they should leave me alone, but we'll see.
It's not just that. It's COVID, it's Ukraine, it's, you know, New Mac. Like, I just, you know, once you're on the radar, it doesn't matter what you do, they'll go after you. But yeah, you definitely can't talk about Palestine or Yemen or anything like that because, you know, they just, it's really hard PR to sell starving kids to death and running over someone's living room with a bulldozer and saying, if I didn't do it, somebody else would. But anyway, yeah. You know what? We're going to be Yemen and Palestine. Places like Baltimore, Detroit, San Francisco, you're going to see failed cities.
Oh, yeah.
Watch. Sure. If they 100%. Keep doing what they're doing, the lights are going to go off. You're going to have brownouts. You're going to have blackouts. And then you're going to have looting. It's about to get really bad. And it's not just because of the war in Ukraine. It's because of fucking liberals. Yep. Radical left. And that is going to cause someone even nuttier than Trump is going to take the reins, and people will not care. They'd be like, anything to save us from this woke nightmare.
Yep, I totally agree. That
guy, you know, this is how you get goose-stepping and stuff, man. Like,
I'm nervous.
I don't know. That's why I live here.
No, I get it, man. This is why. Yeah.
Go ahead. I know you got to go. So
yeah. See you, man. No, it's fine. It's fine. Later, guys.
That was Clint Russell, ladies and gentlemen. Always fun. Trying to get him off of Twitter was kind of hard, so I got to thank Reed Coverdale for being my middleman to contact him to get him on the show. He knows a lot about ESGs and economics in general. He's on with the judge often. I like the judge, too. I'm trying to get him on the show sometime. Phil Giraldi's going to be with us Thursday. I can go ahead and announce that because he doesn't care if he gets the Hoffman letter. He's just going to ignore it. And we got some other guests. A very prominent Civil War historian will be on the show. Not saying which one, but that person's going to come on. We're probably going to talk about Stinking Lincoln. So that'll be down the pipe. Thank you for the birthday wishes and all the shekels, everybody on Odyssey and Entropy, and some watching on Rumble and VK. Make sure you get the copy of this. I'll probably split this show in two. And have one of just Clint, one of just Scott out later and put that on Substack. So we will see you then. Peace.